When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat and my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son. So when Esau went out to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare it for me, delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came. I have blessed him. Yes, he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him Lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." One of the more troubling chapters in the book of Genesis for many Christians. Again, as we've been looking at Genesis, we looked at some previous chapters. I mentioned the idea of reading scripture, looking for the black hats and the white hats. Well, you read Genesis chapter 27, you see a lot of black hats. We saw... In chapter 25, we had a sermon, we mentioned that even Abraham, the great man of faith, had a messy life. And by messy life, we're talking about the man was sinful. He had a messy life in a number of places. Well, here we've got a family. And I don't know about you, but if you had a husband, a wife, and two boys, would you like the family to act like they're acting? Deceit, lying. And there, let's look at these people. And again, the key of this passage is not that. In other words, the key of this passage is not dare not to be like Jacob's family or Isaac's family. It's not what the teaching, though we ought not be like Isaac's family. But let's look at what's going on here and what each person's doing. Then we'll take another pass at it. Well, let's look at what's going on. We're told that Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. It's interesting because Isaac was going to live another 40 years. If you look at the accounting, and he's going to live another 40 years. Of course, he doesn't have our medical doctors, you know, that you know you have a year to live. He's kind of old. And sometimes you can live old and still go on. Think about Moses, and think about what Jacob says to Pharaoh. My years have been long and hard, but they haven't reached the years of my fathers before me. No, Isaac's going to live, but he's old. He's lost his eyesight. He can't see. And now comes the time for the blessing to be given to his son. Now remember, and we'll see this over and over, the blessing here. From father to son, from Abraham to Isaac, and then Isaac ultimately here to Jacob, is a family blessing, yes. But ultimately what's given here, and we can see it here, it is the blessing of God. It's God's blessing. And so Isaac is ready, and as it should be given to the firstborn son. And so, we're told that he was old, and he said, my son, and he said, here I am. Now think about that, my son, here I am. Think about what Isaac said to his father when his father was going to sacrifice him. He says, I do not know the day of my death. So 40 years makes sense. You know, he doesn't know. God granted him another 40 years. And he told him to go get him some food, go hunt and get him food. Remember, we're told earlier that Jacob was loved by Rebekah, but Esau was loved by Isaac. And the reason why Esau was loved by Isaac was because he loved his food. And it looked like it lasted even to his old age. And he says, give this to me that I may bless you. Now, Rebekah hears this. Rebekah loved Isaac, her husband, but she also loved her son, Jacob. And we mentioned last week, probably the reason why she did is because she heard the blessing that God loved Jacob over Isaac, that the older will serve the younger. So she goes ahead and hears it. Now, one thing we need to mention about Isaac. You read a lot of commentaries and they'll say, Isaac is being disobedient by trying to bless Esau because Isaac knew through Rebekah that God was going to put the blessing and bless Jacob, not Esau. That's possible. But we have no indication from Scripture that Rebekah told Jacob that. We're told Isaac that. We're told that God told Rebekah, but we're not told in Scripture. Now, people assume that she did. I want to make that point. We need to be careful as we read Scripture. But Rebekah said to her son, I have heard your father speak, to your brother Esau. Bring me game and delicious food that I may eat. And she said she has a plan. So here, she's listening. She's eavesdropping. And she comes up with this lie. And she tells her son, I want you to deceive your father. She definitely knows that God is going to bless her younger son. But we could say that she maybe is trying to help God out. She's trying to do it a deceitful way, and her son even says, listen, even if I try and do it, I'm going to be in trouble. Yeah, my father's blind, but he can feel. He can touch. And he's going to know immediately that I'm not Esau. And then she says to him, let your curse be upon me. Notice she doesn't tell him what she's going to do. She says to him, he says, I might be cursed. She says, let your curse be upon me. And then she said, go get the things. So we're told in verse 14, so he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared the food. It was only after that we're told, then she took the garments and put them on her son. Not only did that make Jacob feel like Esau, he must have been a really hairy man, but it made Jacob smell like Esau, which is told later in the story. So definitely, Rebecca is lying. Rebecca's wearing at least a gray hat, if not a black hat, when we talk about morality. And look at Jacob. Can Jacob be askew? Can Jacob say, I'm told to obey my mother? No. No, he also, in accepting the plan. But then, when he brings the food to him, his father, Isaac, hears something. We're not told until later, but when Jacob comes in, the reason why he asks him is because he hears the voice. They're not identical twins. They have different voices. You know, if you know two people and one person comes to you, if you answer the phone call, if you know the person's voice, you know who it is. Well, that's what's going on with Jacob when he comes in to Isaac. He hears Jacob's voice. And says, who are you, my son? He's expecting Esau, and he hears Jacob. But Jacob, in a blatant lie, says, I am Esau. Notice he says, your firstborn. I am Esau, your firstborn. Jacob, I have done as you have told me. Now sit up, eat my game, that your soul may bless me. And then Isaac said to him, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? Notice, in order for this ruse to work, they got to work quickly. They don't know how long it's going to take Esau. Esau's a skilled hunter. He may come quickly. So they immediately go. So it's really quick. We don't know how long it took. But even here, Isaac is saying, hold on a second. Maybe you barely had time. And look what Jacob does. More of a bad guy. He implicates God. Now, he implicates God. He says, the Lord. Because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son. And know whether you are really my son Esau or not. There's still doubt. Jacob went near, and Isaac, his father, who felt him, said, the voice here, the voice is Jacob's voice. But the hands are the hands of Esau, and he did not recognize him because they were hairy. Look at verse 24. There's still doubt. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And now Jacob says it with two little words. "I am." No long explanation. "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought near to him, and he ate and brought wine to him, and he drank. There's still doubt in Isaac. Look at verse 26. "Then his father Isaac said, 'Come near to kiss me, my son.'" And we're told in verse 27, he came near, kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments. And then it says he blessed him. By touch and by smell, Isaac was deceived. Now let's look at the blessing. "See the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed, that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." The dew of heaven probably speaks of the rain and the agricultural context, but of course the mention of heaven and earth here is a phrase that means everything. See, it's even more than what's going on here. As we see, the blessing here is more than just Jacob, than what Jacob is. Remember, because he says, "Your brothers will serve you." Not just your brother. And you will rule. And he speaks about curses. Everyone who curses you will be cursed, and everyone who blesses you will be blessed. Again, what that reminds us of? Genesis 12. This is the passing on of the Abrahamic blessing from Abraham to Isaac and now to Jacob. It's being taken deceitfully, understand, though. Well, then the bomb drops in the family. Rebecca knew this was going to happen, didn't she? Think about it. Wonder what the family dynamic was after this. After he finished, we almost get the impression, though it's not, that they pass one another. Like Jacob leaves the tent, and Esau, that's not, again, he has to repair, but that's almost like he walks out and he comes in. "Let my father arise and eat his son's game that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" Well, again, he heard the voice of Esau, didn't he? But Esau just left. He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Notice Isaac doesn't need a whole lot. He doesn't say, "Come here, let me touch you. Or let me smell you." Immediately he knows this is Esau. And he trembled very violently. He's angry. He's frustrated. He made a promise to his older son, and his younger son stole it. He does ask, "Who then was it that came in?" But he does say something. "No matter what I wanted to do, no matter what my plan was, it's not about my plan or desire. It's about he did receive the blessing. The blessing's there. I blessed him and he shall be blessed." And then, of course, there's a statement between, there is a going on between Jacob and Esau. Esau speaks about, "He's rightly named Jacob, for he has cheated me these two times. before that, Isaac says, Isaac speaks about him, Jacob, deceiving and stealing the blessing. But remember, we mentioned this about Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a pot of stew. And when we looked at that account, we're showing that Esau didn't think the birthright was important at the time. Whereas Jacob, again, deceitfully maneuvered a way to get it. He desired it. He desired the blessing, and Esau didn't. Now, the birthright there. The birthright and the blessing are connected. You know that? They're connected. Now, this is the officially of giving the birthright to Jacob. That's the connection. That's why the author of Hebrews can say that don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright for a pot of stew, and then later, when he went to repent, there was no room. The reason why there was no room to repent was God was going to be doing this. We're going to see this. God is in charge of all this mess. God is accomplishing his purpose in the midst of this mess. But here is where Esau is trying to repent. Here's where Esau is trying to get the blessing. He didn't want it earlier, but for some reason now he wants it. But then he asked for a blessing. And what does he receive in verses 39 and 40? Do you see that? His father does not give him a blessing. He gives him the anti-blessing. There is only one blessing. Listen to it. Whereas Jacob was going to receive the dew of heaven and the grain of the field, you're saying, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By the way, where he settled in Edom, that's not a very fertile land geographically. He says, by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Not a blessing, it's a curse. Reminds us of when Abraham blessed Isaac, and then also the blessing that Abraham gave to his Ishmael, his brother. More of a curse. Isaac's a bad guy. Sorry. Isaac has a desire to bless his son. He's not really a white hat. Neither is Rebekah. Neither is Jacob. But Esau, we can look at this and, you know, see Esau as a guy cheated and the guy wronged. But look what we have in verses 41 and following. Jacob's response. Sorry, Esau's response. Now, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. That should remind you of something earlier in Scripture, of another two brothers, right? There's a sense in which Abel was blessed by God. He accepted a sacrifice. And Cain hated him because of it. And God said to him, sin is crouching at your door. What did Cain do to Abel? He killed him. Verse 41 again. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. I will kill my brother Jacob. No, Esau is not a white hat either. Well, what's going on here? Now, showing you that nobody should be like anyone in this family in this incident. Don't dare to be a Jacob. Don't dare to be an Esau. Don't dare to be Isaac and don't dare to be a Rebecca. But there are some interesting things with this passage. We're told by the author of Hebrews that it was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Hebrews 11. By faith he did it. Well, why does he say that? Well, by faith he knew that the blessing needed to be given. Yes, he intended to give it to Esau. But it happened. That it came to Jacob. And by faith he knew it was going to happen. By faith, there is not exemplifying his behavior as it's free from sin, but the importance of that blessing he got from his father, that he was going to go, and like his father, he knew that this blessing was tied to God. What about Jacob and Rebecca? We'll put them together. Rebecca valued what she was told. And she saw it going somewhere else. Think about it. God told her that the blessing would go to Jacob and not Esau. She did it the wrong way, but she valued the blessing. She valued what she heard. And Jacob valued it. By hook or crook, he valued the blessing. By hook or crook, he valued the blessing. But there are consequences for Jacob and Rebecca in this. And we'll get to those consequences when we look at next week. But you know what they are, right? What was the blessing for Jacob tied to? The land, right? The dew and the fruitfulness, it was tied. Of course, it typified that ultimate blessing, but for the immediate idea, the typical blessing was the land. How long did Jacob live in the land after this happened? Not much long. Rebecca said, "We've got to send this guy out. His brother is going to kill him." And so she tells Isaac, "Hey, it would, you know, get a woman like from my people." And that's interesting. Think about that compared to Abraham. What did Abraham say to a servant? "Do not send my son there." And the son was Isaac. Isaac knew that the blessing of the land was tied to him. So here is, think about it. Jacob gets the blessing that he's been wanting, the blessing that he got by the stew, the blessing his mother contrived, and then he's going to get out of the land, away from the blessing. Next week we'll find some connection there. But so there are some temporal consequences there. But now I want to focus on the blessing. When is this blessing fulfilled? About Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now receiving it. We're told in this passage that verse 29, "The peoples will serve you and nations bow down to you." Notice nations. When does that happen for old Jacob? It doesn't. Not in his lifetime. Matter of fact, yet there's something we'll see later on, and later in Genesis, something of a precursor. But when do nations bow down to Jacob? When's the first time we see that? During the Davidic kingdom. When Israel's that kingdom, nations came down and bowed down before him. But that's only what we would call, again, the typological fulfillment. When ultimately do the nations bow down? When Jesus Christ. See, the blessing that's handed down from Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, and to the nation of Israel is finally handed down to who? The blessing. The blessing is handed down to Jesus. That's important. You see, the problem with a lot of people's interpretation of these passages is we're looking at these individuals and what they personally receive in light of that blessing. But as we're tracing the giving down the blessing, we're not primarily talking about their participation in the blessing, though they do. Jacob will participate. Abraham will participate in the blessing. But the blessing will be fulfilled, will ultimately be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that the peoples will serve. It's Jesus Christ to whom the nations will be bowed. It is Jesus Christ who will be Lord over his brothers. And his mother's sons will bow down to him. And everyone who curses Jesus Christ will be cursed. And everyone who blesses Jesus Christ will be blessed. How did Jesus get that blessing? He didn't dare to be a Jacob. Jesus didn't cheat, lie, or steal to get the blessing. His mother Mary didn't say, you know what, someone else is going to get this. And you know what, I want you to get it, and we're going to do it this way. No, that didn't happen. But how did Jesus secure the blessing? Through obedience, but also what? Through curse. You see, Jesus had to receive the anti-blessing to have the blessing to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Wayne, and to John Calvin, and to John Wesley, and to every single person that blesses him in faith. See, it's his obedience and his receiving the curse so that he can have the blessing to bestow upon us. Bestow upon people like Abraham. Bestow upon lying Rebecca. See, that is what we're seeing here. That's what's being revealed. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be like Rebecca here. But you know what? You are. You lie, you cheat, you steal. I want to draw your attention to a passage that Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11, he says this, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him." Again, think about the blessing. Nations, we will reign with Jesus. "If we deny him, he will also deny us." That, by the way, that's the curse. Denying him is cursing him. That's what cursing him is. But look at the next line, verse 13. "If we are faithless," hear me, it's faithful. That almost contradicts what we just read. If we deny him, he will deny us. I think what's going on here in verse 13 is these are all blessings. If we are faithless, the faithless is not talking about faith apprehending him, but the faith, because the words. By the way, do you have a faithful wife or a faithful husband or faithful children? When you use that word faithful, what do you mean? Obedient. Not full of faith, but obedient. And that's what verse 13 means. If we are disobedient, he remains obedient or faithful, for he cannot deny himself. See, the point is this, is that I want you, and God wants you to come to him, to praise him, to be obedient, but we're never going to be faithful in that sense. We're called to have faith that apprehends the faithful one. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, Steve Baugh said this years ago in a class. When you read that, you expect another word. I expected to say stuff like this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and gracious to forgive us our sins, or merciful. But it says he is just to forgive our sins. How can he justly forgive our sins? Again, because he took the curse. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the very next line, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Brothers and sisters, we ought not sin. Going to strive every day to walk in obedience, but understand the blessing that you have, the blessing that Jacob received, is because there was one who was not a deceiver. We're going to learn more about that and how the passage here at the end of 27-28 point to him. But the birthright is tied to the blessing. Who's the firstborn of all creation? Jesus Christ. He receives the blessing. And then he gives the blessing. But he receives the blessing, gives the blessing, because he endured in faithfulness. And in faithfulness, he endured the curse. It is written about me in the Hebrews. It is written about me in the scroll. Behold, I have come to do your will. It wasn't the blood of bulls and calves, but the obedient blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, trust in him and then seek to obey him. But don't seek to obey him so that you can be blessed. If you do that, there's no hope. The only way we can be obedient is trusting in him and him at work within us. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that the family of Isaac is an example of the human family of all sons and daughters of Adam. And we thank you that you sent your firstborn, your only begotten son, that he may bring us into another family. Father, help us to live in light of that. Help us to seek to be obedient to you. Help us to acknowledge our sins and confess them and seek to walk in new obedience. Help us to forgive the sins of our brothers and sisters. Help us, Father, in all things to proclaim not ourselves, not our faith, but proclaim Christ. May we preach him to ourselves, may we preach him in the church, and may we preach him to the world. We pray these things in his glorious name.